Amen. The home of the soul. Beautiful home. There we shall rest. Never to roam. Free from all care. Happy and bright. Why? Because Jesus is there.
That's right. That's it.
And he is the light. Amen. That's the verse you're waiting for. Jesus is there. You don't want to walk in the house and you ever walk into a stranger's house and ain't nobody there. You have trepidation going in. But this is the home of the soul. And Jesus is already there, ready to receive us as good and faithful servants. And so we want to be ready. Amen. We want to be prepared. We want to be equipped for that great getting up morning, that great homecoming morning, that beautiful, wonderful, eternal day where we shall meet Jesus face to face. Amen. We're grateful to God for your presence here this evening. So good to see you in the house of God this evening. And we know we're a little light tonight because there are some folks are over at the Inner City Church of Christ. But we're grateful for those of you who came out on this evening. Grateful to all those who have labored in the services thus far. And if you will, we'll just get right to it. I had a nice little lunch this afternoon, and it's sort of just sitting there, and it's not moving. So when it don't move, then you know you better move. So I'm gonna move just as expeditiously as I possibly can. Y'all just need to just pray, stay with me, and keep up with me. All right. Because if I outpace you, the brother might be up here singing the invitation song before y'all even catch up. Before y'all say, well, what was he talking about? He's the invitation time. So y'all stay with me, all right? All right, go with me to our text in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read the verses again for emphasis' sake, and then we'll get right to it. Is that all right? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. And there the Hebrew writer speaks to us, saying, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Is that in your Bible? Do not draw back is what we want to talk about tonight. The dangers of drawing back. Now, the Hebrew writer here is encouraging these Hebrew Christians to maintain their faith, to hold fast their profession, and to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. He reminds them of the path that has been set and the race which must be run and the endurance that is needed to run with patience the race that is set before each and every one of us. He tells them in verse 35 not to cast away or lose your confidence. He reminds them to be of good courage, for your heavenly reward is near. He reminds them in verse 36 of the necessity for patience, endurance, and strength. And in verse 38, he reminds them to live by faith. And in verse 39, he shows them the difference between those who believe unto salvation and those who fall away to abysmal failure. an eternal separation from God. He says, if any man draw back, if anyone turns away, if anyone runs away, if anyone falls away, if anyone pulls away, they have failed in the faith, and their reward is perdition, destruction. And so the instruction today, the encouragement today, and even for this evening, is to not draw back. Draw nigh to God, that he will draw nigh to you. Is that all right? Now, there are three things we want to see here as we examine this text, and then this lesson will be yours. We want to make application to our Christian walk today. Now, the first thing is to remember. The second is to respond. And the third is to remain. Remember, respond, and remain. We need to first remember who we are. We need to respond to the calling of our faith, and we need to remain with the Lord. Is that all right? Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, just want to drive the point home here. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. Look at what it says here. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And look at verse 69. He says, and we believe and are sure. No question about it. No doubt about it. We are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, to not draw back is to be sure. To not draw back is to be certain. To not draw back is to be confident and holding fast to the precepts of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. Back in our text in Hebrews 10, these Hebrew Christians were drawing back to a time when their religion was based on those physical and material objects of worship and sacrifice. The Levitical priests, the animal sacrifices, the objects of worship and sacrifice, the ceremonial flames of consecration, the rites of purification, and the festive convocation of believers in the holy tabernacle. You see, these things were commonplace. They were accepted. They were necessary, and they were tangible. We could reach out and touch them. See, the elements of their faith were displayed publicly. They were performed regularly, and the worshipers participated actively. See, these elements had their purpose. They had their place, and the people had their position as the favorite of God at that time. But what we need to understand here is that their priests were imperfect. And they were temporal. Their sacrifices, too, were temporary and only a substitute. And their ceremonial law, only a shadow of the good things to come. For the Bible says, go with me there back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And we see there something that is made very clear to us there in verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there was a remembrance again made of sins every year. Why? Because we just kept on doing what we were doing. Amen. He said, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. See, they were drawing back to a time where their sinful existence and their requisite sacrifices were an appeasement and not a fully complete atonement. And again, the Hebrew writer says in verses 8 through 10 of Hebrews 10, look what he says there. He says, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. They were drawing back. They were drawing away from Christ and his perfect sacrifice, his perfect priesthood, and his eternal tabernacle. But again, he says in our scripture text, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. If you hold on to what I'm teaching you, your reward will be eternal. He says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, the people of God should remember their position. The people of God should remember their purpose. And the people of faith and promise should remember to run the race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, drawing back, my friends, is the justification of lost faith, but drawing near to Christ and his righteousness is the justification of those who walk by faith. And so this remembrance requires this response, the response of obedience, the response of tolerance, and the response of perseverance. Now, the Hebrew writer gives us these examples. Y'all know this one. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Y'all see these heroes of the faith here. See, he helps us here to remember those heroes of the faith, those examples of a foregone time, the bold, the vigilant, the strong, the courageous, the faithful, the believing, the committed. Now, does any of those words sound like you and me? See, our response should be their response. And as the writer recants these examples, he begins the same way. Look at how all these verses in Hebrews chapter 11 begin. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Jeffrey. By faith, Lisa. By faith, Jessica. By faith, Kevin. By faith, Gregory. And I can keep right on going. We don't have to call the roll, but you know your name. The thing is, will he find your name in the book? Will he say, by faith, Christian? Have you? Are you walking it as well as talking it? See, we need to ask this question as we consider why the Hebrew writer finds it necessary here to remind these Christians to not draw back. He says, look at these examples. This was their response. This was their response to keep the faith, to sustain their faith, to maintain their faith, and run their race, their individual race. And that's another thing we ought to remember. The race you run is your race. Amen. Fast or slow, it's your race. Amen. Amen. Whether you reach the finish line or not. Now, we want you to run the race, but he says run it with patience. The patience of knowing who God is and what he can do. And the patience and vigilance and diligence. The vigilance of looking out for his word. The diligence of remaining in his word. See, these heroes of the faith are here as an example. They're not here to keep you from maximizing your faith. They're here to remind you in the midst of all the stuff they went through that you can do the same thing. And you know, sometimes we have a way of being hard-headed. And then the world just deals with us. And just like Brother Bethea was saying today, God sometimes steps back and just let what happens, happens. But again, if you learn the lesson, he's still there. Lord, you saw me through that one. You got me through that one. And you know, we have these examples here in Hebrews chapter 11, but you know what? We heard one this morning. Amen, somebody. See, we see, the Word of God gives us other examples of the dangers of drawing back. Go with me. I'm almost done. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at this. And again, he's taking us back, but he's showing us these examples. You know, we read the Bible sometimes and we start thinking these people just had to be special people. No, they were just faithful people. Amen, somebody. And that these admonitions are here to remind us that they were struggling with some stuff too. But the admonition then is the same for us today. Don't draw back. Look at this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 1. It says there, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and the sea," telling us the story of them walking through the Red Sea, right? "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. We need to read some of this stuff that happens to God's people when they decide they want to draw back to their old ways. Look at verse 9. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written," look at this, y'all, "for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." As the Hebrew writer encourages us with these examples of faith in Hebrews 11, here the Apostle Paul warns us of the dangers of turning back, and worse, to foolishly believe that a walk of faith is without works of faith. He says again in verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Our response should be to hold firm, to stand fast, and do not draw back. And if drawing back means turning back, it also means looking back. When we think of faith, when we consider Hebrews 10, 37 and 38, the words promise, hope, belief should come to mind. See, these are words that imply something that's not tangible, but something that's intangible. See, faith is something just out of reach, just out of sight, just around the bend, just over the hill. See, faith, church, is looking forward. See, faith is hope. Something's coming. Faith is promise. Something has come. Faith is belief. Something or someone will return again. Do you have that kind of faith? See, with this faith, there can be nothing worse than drawing back. Drawing back unto perdition, as in verse 39, can only result and shattered hopes, broken promises, and scattered beliefs. In this world of confusion, in this time of persecution, the Hebrew writer reminds them and us to consider Jesus. In Hebrews 12, y'all know these verses, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." And this is the verse I like. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Don't return to your old ways, your old habits. Instead, remember, respond, and remain with him. Consider Christ. Consider the cross. Consider your conversion. Consider your connection to him. And consider also his commands. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Look with me at what he says in Hebrews 22 through 24 of Hebrews 10. Look at this. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now, we usually jump to Hebrews 25, but these verses are so important. Here's the justification for us to do what it says in verse 25. We have this full assurance of faith. And so this being cleansed from this evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, now we have the assurance of what we have done, whom we've done it for. And so now how can we draw back to a time when we just decide when we're going to come to church? We're going to decide how we're going to serve. We're going to decide what we're going to do. That's drawing back to a time when we make the decisions instead of God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. See, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. Not just after you obeyed the gospel, but to the saving of your eternal soul. When is this walk with faith over? When I can't walk no more. When I can't do no more. When I can't breathe no more. That's when it's over. And it ain't over till he says it's over. So we can't draw back to influences that keep us from relying on him. We have these two extremes, both fraught with consequences. Those who believe will be saved, and those who draw back will be condemned and ultimately consumed. The Apostle Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." You know, when judgment come, he says it's going to start first in the house of God. Now, somebody said, "That just don't seem very fair, Brother Veal." Well, guess what? Anybody here ever been the older child? The oldest child? Maybe it was a bunch of siblings underneath you, and you were the older child. And then when something was broken or something was wrong in the house, see, mama, now one of the younger kids did it, but who's she gonna get first? Gonna find the oldest child. The one who's supposed to know better. Now, you're supposed to be watching them. You're supposed to be making sure they live the example. So I'm going to get you first. I'm going to get them too. But I'm going to get you first because you should have known better. Why is judgment going to start first in the house of God? Because we ought to know better. The folks who knew and didn't do it, I'm going to deal with them. But the folks who know and just drew back to their old ways, I'm coming for you first because you should know better. Amen, somebody. See, if we are children of God, our walk must be of faith. If we are to remain children of God, our faith must have substance. And if you want to become a child of God, your faith and your belief must be acted upon. He asks you. He compels you. And yes, he commands you to draw near. Knowing is not doing. Simply doing is not living. And simply living is not growing. Now that'll come through in a minute. What you know will only save you if you do what you know is right to do. Doing what you want and not what God requires is no way to live. That's no way for a Christian to live. For you to know what's right to do and don't do it, that's no way to live. If you really think you're living, you're dying. Amen. Matter of fact, you're living to die, just like the rest of the world. But see, I'm dying to live forever. Amen. But I got to die to sin and sinful ways and not draw back to those things that compel me and pull me and tug at me. And let me not minimize this. Sin is real, y'all. Temptation is real. And some of the stuff, it might not be the same thing that you're pulled by, but there's some stuff pulling at me. Amen. Just like there's stuff pulling at you. Yeah. But the writer says, don't draw back. Hold on. Hang on. And please don't let go. Living without being obedient to God is no real life at all. If you believe, believe by faith to the saving of your souls. Maybe there's someone here who says, well, Brother Bill, how do I do that? And I answer you, come to Jesus, hearing and believing his gospel. Come repenting of your sins, confessing him as Lord. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, and the Lord our God will add you to his body. This body, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And if you're a member of the body of Christ already, don't draw back. Amen. Don't turn back. Don't walk away. Hold on. Hold on. The race ain't over till it's over. I know you're struggling with some mess. I know you're struggling with some stuff, but the race ain't over. Amen. Till he says it over.
That's right.
Stay in the game. Stay in the race. And do not draw back. Can we stand together as we come and sing the song of invitation?